Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you that you brought us to this place once again where we may feast on you, Lord, with all that you provide for us, and especially feast on your Son, Jesus Christ, who came into this world to bear the sin that we brought with us, the sin that we are mired in. He came to forgive us for all of that, to set us free. And Lord, we thank you for that message and for that truth, and we ask that you continue to lead us to it day in and day out. We pray this all in the precious name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Our text is from John 6, and I read to you just a couple of verses again. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you." This is our text. COVID is hopefully on its way out the door. I know, there's this D thing around. But I'm glad that it's starting to leave. I want it to get out of here. Anybody else agree? Yeah, amen. One of the reasons that I want it to get out of here is because I love to travel. I've been privileged to visit a number of the national parks here in the States. I've spent time in Canada and Germany and Japan and China and Mexico, Belize, Nicaragua. A student of history, I enjoy learning about the past while visiting those other places. There is so much to learn about this big world that we live in. I still have many places that I hope to see someday. You too? Good. Y'all are going to think you're in a Baptist church by the time you're done. I'm looking forward to the day when I can travel to Great Britain. Perhaps some of you have been there before. I've been watching on the TV, you know, with the funerals and the weddings and all that different stuff, and the cathedrals and stuff that are there are just magnificent. Have any of you ever been to Westminster Abbey before? Yeah. Lucky you. That's that magnificent old church in London where over a dozen British kings and queens are buried. But it's not just royalty who are entombed there. Westminster Abbey, you see, is also the resting place for notables like George Frederick Handel, Isaac Newton, Charles Dickens, and it's also where Thomas Parr is buried. Who, you might ask? Yeah, I didn't know who old Tom Parr was either until last week when I picked up this illustration from a sermon by a Canadian Lutheran pastor. See, it seems Tom's claim to fame is that he lived to be, catch this, 152 years old. In fact, his life spanned the reign of 10 of those monarchs from 1483 to 1635. King Charles I was so impressed with Parr's advanced age that when the old man died, the king ordered that he be buried in Westminster Abbey. Of course, it could have been that King Charles also somehow felt responsible for Parr's death. You see, the old man died only a few weeks after coming to see the king. Charles had received him warmly and insisted that Parr eat the royal food. Well, food, as it turns out, that was too rich for old Tom Parr. At least that's what the doctors concluded back then upon the examination of dead old Tom. We, of course, don't need the story of Tom Parr's demise to know that what you eat has a bearing on your health. Too much candy and not enough cauliflower will make it difficult for your body to fight disease. But even if you're a vegetarian and don't indulge in sweets, you're still going to end up like old Tom Parr, dead. Today, our sermon text teaches that if we want to outlive this life, this world, then we will want to dine on that which endures, Jesus, the bread of life. You know, of course, how Jesus called himself the bread of life, but do you remember when he said that? Anybody? What famous miracle had he just performed? Right, the feeding of the 5,000 from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Well, after the crowd experienced that miracle, they wanted to make Jesus king. And Jesus knew that, so he sent his disciples away from the crowds back across the Sea of Galilee, lest they be influenced by those that were thinking Jesus should be king. And Jesus himself withdrew to a mountain. What do you think he did there? Prayed. He spent time with his Father, right? Meanwhile, the crowd, they bedded down for the night right there in the wilderness, expecting that they would see Jesus in the morning. But when they awoke in the morning, no doubt eager for Jesus to provide them with Egg McMuffins, they couldn't find him or his disciples. You see, during the night, Jesus had walked his way across the Sea of Galilee, and he rejoined the disciples in their boat. When the crowd couldn't find Jesus, they didn't just give up. Oh, well, I guess we'll just go home. No way. They looked for him. They hunted him until at last they found him. They got into boats, sailed across the Sea of Galilee. This crowd had its deficiencies, which we'll talk about in a minute, but dogged determination to hang out with Jesus was not one of them. What about us? Are we as determined to follow Jesus? So determined that we won't let a late night get in the way of our Sunday morning here with Jesus? So determined that when we're on vacation, we still carve out time to listen to the word? So determined that even though our to-do list covers both sides of the paper, we know that first spending time with Jesus in prayer is most important. Or do we treat Jesus like that friend we'll hang out with? You know, the one we'll hang out with only if there's no one else around. Sadly, many often think there are more important things to do than hang around with Jesus. What about you? The purpose of this sermon this morning is to explain why hanging out with Jesus is the most important thing that we can do. So let's get back to our text. When the crowd finally tracked down Jesus, you might have expected him to commend the crowd for their tenacity. Good for you! You just were going to come no matter where I was. But he didn't do that. Instead, Jesus revealed the real reason that they were chasing him. According to the Message translation, "You've come looking for me not because you saw God in my actions, But because I fed you, filled your stomachs, and I did that for free. In his characteristically blunt way of speaking, Martin Luther commented that this crowd sought out Jesus the way lice seek out a scalp. Those tiny bugs love your head and hair because it's a warm place to lay their eggs. They seek you just to use you. That was the crowd's relationship with Jesus. They wanted him to supply for them more free food. My friends, what about us? Oh, no, that's not me. I really want to spend time with Jesus that I might draw closer to him and learn. And you know, Pastor, that's kind of what I'm supposed to say. Okay, that's what you're supposed to say. But what do you really say? Let's analyze that for a minute. If someone here were to analyze your prayers, would they conclude that this is also what you want from Jesus? You want Jesus to provide, to do more for you. We want him to move us into a nicer house. Pour cash in my bank account, Lord, just a little bit so I can get through the week. Or cash enough that we could buy a decent car or take that fall getaway. We want him to make us prettier and smarter. And I'm the poster boy for this one, slimmer. In general, we want Jesus to make our lives easier. And sadly, that's what most of us spend our time seeking from him. But here's the story. Jesus doesn't chastise the crowd for using him like that. Rather, he chastises them because they weren't using him to get the one thing they really needed. Bring it on if you want to use me, but use me to get the right stuff. Don't waste your energy striving for perishable food like that. Work for food that sticks with you, food that nourishes your lasting life, food that the Son of Man provides. He and what he does are guaranteed by God the Father to last. See, Jesus wants us, friends, to trust him, to make use of our relationship with him to receive the forgiveness of sins, for that's going to connect us to eternal life. Everything else that we work for in this life is food that will spoil. It will rot, it will rust, it will decay. It will not last. And even if it does, you won't be able to take it with you. That crowd was short-sighted that followed Jesus. They were eager only for that which made their lives easier for the moment. And that's why they were willing to chase Jesus all the way around Galilee. They want free food. And like the crowd, I believe we too eagerly work for food that spoils. Think of the effort we put into researching a new car or that computer that we want to purchase. Think how carefully we think about which restaurant we ought to eat at, which school we should attend, what investments we should make. In a world where our choices are many, we often agonize over what channel to watch or which entree to order. Do we put that kind of effort into thinking about our spiritual well-being? Why not? I mean, didn't Jesus also say, I'm the bread of life? He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. We receive that kind of spiritual nourishment when we feast on Jesus, the bread of life, trusting that he and he alone has dealt with our need for forgiveness. That's it. Salvation is so simple. Believe in Jesus. Right? So why do we need to keep working for food? He wants us to treat it like the free bread you get at Olive Garden, Longhorn, or other restaurants. Sure, when you first get to the restaurant, you can't get enough of that bread, right? It's warm. They've got that cinnamon butter and stuff. Y'all are going to be hungry when you leave here. And the bread is so warm and delicious, you just keep asking for more until the main entree arrives. Then what happens with that bread? Right? Goes to the side. It's not the important thing anymore. Something else has a greater draw on us. I want you to think back to your baptism, your confirmation for a moment. At that time, you really meant it, right? When you said about putting Jesus and his word first in all circumstances, you were willing to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it. Right? Some of you are saying, I said what? You were even moved to tears when you thought about Jesus being beaten, spat upon, and then hanging on a cross, undergoing that humiliation and rejection so that we would never have to. But let me ask you, over time, has that appreciation for Jesus grown a little lukewarm at best? Are you more interested in rooting for the Titans than you are rooting for Jesus? Are we now more eagerly working for food that spoils than working to hang on to and continuing to appreciate the bread of life? Here's the encouragement. You ready for it? Dine on that which endures. That's the message that Jesus has for you this morning. Dine on that which endures. I started this sermon by telling you about old Tom Parr. Seems that if he would have just stayed put in his hometown and continued to eat his regular food, he might have lived a few more years. Instead, he changed his diet and ate what the rich and famous were eating, and it cost him his life. Friends, God wants us to check our diet this morning. Are we dining on that which endures, or have we become addicted to junk that threatens to derail us from our intended destination of heaven? Don't be short-sighted like that crowd. They eagerly sought after Jesus, but for all the wrong reasons. They wanted to know who Jesus thought he was, that he could tell them what to think and believe. But you and I know, who is Jesus? He's the bread of life. He provides far more for you than you could ask or think. So when you walk out the door this morning and you're ready to head to the restaurant for that warm bread, take just a moment and maybe ask yourself, is this going to fill me the way that God wants me to be filled? And if it's not, seek after the bread of life. He's got it all. God grant it for the sake of his Son. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith, which is in Christ Jesus, to life everlasting.